in much need of the help of God, by and through the Holy Spirit. I venture this evening to direct your thoughts and attention to the word you will find in the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 64, and reading verse 4. Isaiah chapter 64, reading verse 4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, and neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Here, dear friends, is a word of expectation. And there are many of the truths in the Word of God that speak of an expectation. Expectations spoken of in the Word of God are so different to the expectation of the natural mind and of the unregenerate heart. Those who are dead in trespasses and in sins. And friends, the Lord alone knows how it is with us each. We professing to believe in God and to worship God. But do we have anything of the expectation that the Word of God speaks of concerning the Lord's dear people? And there is much in the Word of God. And here the Lord particularly emphasizes that the things that God has prepared are for those that wait for him. There are other scriptures that speak of those who possess the fear of the Lord. For instance, in the prophecy of Malachi, unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. There's an expectation, dear friends, that is far, far more wonderful than anything that nature can ever afford. I know that many marvel at the things of nature. And if we see even the natural sunrise at certain times in certain places, may be a beautiful sight and a cheering sight. But we know, and we have lived many days to prove it, that beauty soon fades, and that same sun that rose will set by the evening time. But oh, dear friends, even in that one consideration, how much more precious and more wonderful is that arising arising of the Son of Righteousness. Well, there are then many scriptures that set before the people of God an end and an expectation. And there is this which belongs to all real God-given faith. Oh, friends, yet, as you have been singing, if we have even a grain of that God-given faith, there will be the tribulation through which we must pass. And it is then that at times there are days of trial and of darkness that may be so dark, so intense, that we wonder where the scene will end. And we seem to have no prospect in view at all. And so it is when experience is as described in Psalm 107. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Oh, friends, and then perhaps the enemy comes in like a flood and says, "Now, what have you believed in? What have you hoped for? What have you been looking towards? And now look where you are." Oh, indeed, the tribulation, the trial of faith. But dear friends, the very trials, the very tribulations, in a sense, are an evidence that within there is something that the Lord has planted there, which he is permitting and has a purpose in it to be tried. Oh, then, where are we, dear friends? We come again to the house of God on the week evening, and we have been attending to the things of another day in our lives. And I'm sure with each of us, there are those things that we are, as it were, more immediately looking forward to. Maybe not, perhaps looking forward to necessarily with a joyful anticipation. But nonetheless, doubtless, there are those things in our families, in our lives, that we are considering and that we shall come to perhaps tomorrow or the next day or next week or in a month or two's time. Those different things that we, as it were, look forward to, or perhaps some things in the consideration of them we tremble. Well, the Lord knows. But dear friends, the word here speaks of those things that are higher and deeper than the transient things, the fleeting things of this present life. Oh, but now may the Lord help me. This word, in a way, I have felt, even in reading the chapter this evening, it almost seems to stand on its own. We find that I feel that there is the beginning of the chapter where there is this very intensive cry, this pleading with the Lord that he would come, that he would come down, and that the mountains might flow down at his presence. And there is a remembrance of the terrible things that the Lord has done, which we looked not for. Perhaps there is a hint then. The things that the Lord has done, which we looked not for. Have we found already, dear friends, by some of our experiences, that the Lord's dealings have not been the dealings, the ways that we thought would be our lot, our path? Oh, how differently, as you may be helped to consider it, in one way or another, how differently matters have unfolded hitherto. So perhaps after all there is, and dear friends, I speak as I trust the Lord is prompting me, but there is this wonder with the Word of God, that what I believe we prove and we find, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and there is that that fitting together and the setting of His Word. Well, I had not seen this until I stand here now, but when thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, have there been some things indeed that have made you tremble to the very centre of your poor soul? And yet you have not been destroyed. And it takes me back to the word, was it not, that I ventured with on the past Lord's Day afternoon, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Some of those things that the Lord has permitted, and we felt at the time, well, it would finish us off. And perhaps there are things that have gone on as well, have continued in certain ways in our lives. And yet, yes, we did not look for them, but we have not yet been utterly consumed. Still, there is that we are found on praying ground. But you see, dear friends, the word here in this preceding verse says this: when thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down. The mountains flowed down at thy presence. Now, although it may not be that the Lord dealt with those things that came in the way we might have expected or wished, yet have not the mountains at times flowed down? Have we not known, have you not proved that the Lord has not left you? He has been your helper. He has granted a little of His all-sufficient grace. In spite of everything, in spite of our own sins, yet He hath not dealt with us after our sins, neither hath He rewarded us according to our iniquities. Oh, friends, can we not then come in some measure with this? Thou camest down. Thou camest down. Yes, even in the midst of these deep things, the Lord, we saw His hand. You saw His hand. You felt His hand restraining. I do like those lines in that hymn, and I just turn to it. 132. Our sorrows in the scale He weighs, and measures out our pains, the wildest storm. His word obeys, his word its rage restrains. Now, friends, there's a proving even in such things. Thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. Now, this then leads into this verse 4. So, turning now from those things that have been walked in and have been passed through, turning from those to this perception, revelation. Revelation by the Spirit, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee. Oh, friends, what a declaration there is here. I believe it is one of those characteristics of our natures, and perhaps more so the effect of the fall. Why, dear friends, in the very temptation that the serpent expressed and beguiled Eve and Adam with, it was the promise, and I just turn to it, because the enemy, the adversary, the evil one, still seeks to beguile poor sinners with the same arguments today. Oh, I believe he's so active. And perhaps I think of our dear younger friends, the devil is so active. You see, what did the serpent say to the woman? If she should take of that fruit which was forbidden, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. What temptation, dear friends. Your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Oh, the same tempter is so busy today, and he knows how cleverly present the same temptation, that it doesn't appear to be a temptation to do anything wrong at all. But friends, oh, how we need the tender fear of God, and that the Lord would keep us. Oh, but you see then, man through the fall has had his eyes opened in that sense. And ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Why is it that men and today there is so much discussion about the not described as such, perhaps, but some do, moral things? And we hear that expression about so-and-so-and-so-and-so taking the moral high ground. Consequence, surely, of the fall, man's eyes opened to understand, to see in measure good and evil. Well, friends, how much also perhaps I can't think of another way to put it, but the pollution is in our very our corrupt nature. It seeks anticipate certain things. Man is always, as it were, imagining this, that, and the other. Oh, isn't it part of our nature? We have the expression, for instance, building castles in the air. And dear friends, I know I'm speaking perhaps in a rather plain way, but isn't it part of our nature? And we may look for certain things, and perhaps in our heart of hearts we know that what we're imagining is imagination. And yet, oh yet, sometimes there's that thought, oh, if it might turn out like this, or it might turn out like that. And oh, friends, how sometimes we can be so bound up with things like this. But what does the word say here regarding the things of God? For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen. No. It's not in all the thoughts of man, not in all man's vain imaginations. And look how it was in those days when a man thought he would build a tower to reach up into heaven. There's the vain imagination. Oh, what they thought they were going to achieve. They were going to build so high that they would reach up to God. They would reach up to heaven. And yet, how God, in a stroke, brought it all to nothing, and we live with the consequences, don't we, to this very, very day. What a thought. We only have to meet somebody from across the English Channel, and unless we've been taught a little bit of their language, we cannot understand what they say, can we? And that is still the meeting out of God's punishment upon the world, upon mankind, for ever thinking and ever dreaming that man could reach heaven by his own efforts. No, dear friends, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen. Oh, friends, what things there are revealed to our sight today. Well, I would not dwell on it, but you know how it is. Image upon image upon image. All with a design to entice our hearts, to draw us into the things that the devil would drown us in if he could. But, oh, the things that God has prepared, they're never perceived by this imagery, never. Neither hath the eye seen. O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared. What he hath prepared. Friends, do we believe it? Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go. You know who's speaking, don't you? This is those well-known words, I'm sure, if perhaps all of us know, John chapter 14, the Saviour himself. Oh, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Oh, friends, the Lord Jesus Christ, I hath not seen, O God, beside thee, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Oh, what he has prepared, one in three and three in one. Have not seen, O God, beside thee what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Well, friends, then, these things that God here declares, they are for a people. They are for a people. And the description here most particularly emphasized, it's him that waiteth for him. So I read those two psalms. And dear friends, what a truth is there? And what sacred experience? In Psalm 27, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. Now friends, you see, the goodness of the Lord. This is not a figment of our imagination. It's the eye of living faith. The eye of living faith. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now that's going back, isn't it, to past experience. Oh, have you got something that you can say? You had fainted, David had it. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. Oh, friends, haven't we got something to praise him for? The goodness of the Lord that he has made manifest in our life, in our path, in our soul. Oh, the goodness of the Lord. Oh, to sinners, in so granting in his love, in his everlasting love, he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The eye hath not seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. But you see then, dear friends, these people are awaiting, they are made awaiting people. They are made awaiting people. And friends, oh, what they need in their waiting. They need faith, they need hope, and they need love. And now abideth these three, faith, hope, and charity and love. That is. Oh, dear friends, has the Lord bestowed these gifts upon you and upon me? Or we may tremble, yet, as I said earlier on, if he has, they will be tried, these gifts. They will be tried. And even to think of love. And in the epistle to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, under the Holy Spirit, cites this word. He cites the same word that is here. That those things that God hath prepared. But he uses the word to that slightly alters the emphasis, what he hath prepared for them that love him. For them that love him. Now again, friends, you might say, and oh, what a question. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? But what came into my thoughts just a moment or two ago was this. Many waters cannot quench love. Now, you've had to go through some waters in your path, haven't you? Some of those deep waters that cross life's pathway. And haven't you been brought through? Oh, was it not the love of Christ that he has given? And you could say, Oh, have you had cause to say, friends, even in those deep waters, we love him. We love him because he first loved us. And unless he had loved us, we should have sunk in them quite. We should have gone to the bottom. But we have a little hope that he has first loved us. And so we have humbly to say, we love him. Neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Well, as you know, in Psalm 130 that I also read, oh, dear friends, have you known something of that path? My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. That's such an expression, that is, isn't it? Conveys a great deal. Oh, we've known, I'm sure, at certain times, on a dark night, tossed, perhaps with pain, or things that we cannot lay straight in our minds, and we be so long for that light to begin to show. Oh, but you see, dear friends, the soul that's in these depths, the Lord has prepared those things for, unspeakable, unheard of, unknown, the things that the Lord has prepared, but they are constrained, they're compelled to wait for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. There's no other hope for you, is there? Oh, you have to cry that the Lord would appear and that he would deliver you out of your distresses. Psalm 107, once more, then they cry unto the Lord in their distresses, and he saveth them, he delivereth them. Well, I must leave it, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee. Oh, friends, have you had to come with this psalmist in another psalm? Whom have I in heaven but thee? Neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Amen.